Fawn goes hard.
See you later, popcorn bitch.
Those 7 days have almost passed.
The wheelbarrow full of
dicks.
Dicks.
Come and revel in the carnival-like proceedings.
Hey, it's Drunkard STL on Twitter.
Hold on to your fucking hats, everybody.
WFOD.
Kids, I never heard of that.
Hello.
Drive-thru, asked for extra sauce. They didn't charge me. Everything's fine.
Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my lovely co-host, the esteemed popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Welcome to pool party.
Is it pool party, Travis? Is it the throes of summer?
This is pool party weather, right? This is what we're doing. It's summertime, kicking back some brews, hanging with my aunt. Good time by the pool party.
Travis, I'll tell you what, doing the show shirtless tonight. I'm going shirtless.
Yeah, there ain't no other way to do it.
Because it's the reason of the season. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Guys, Matt is also here. Hello, Matt.
Hi, guys.
Matt, we have a lot to talk about, Matt. I've been following your Snapchat, Matt.
Yes.
I have things that I want to ask about. I'm hoping you have stories about your big weekend. Guys, there's a lot.
Yeah, we had a good time.
There's a lot.
Really good weekend.
To discuss. Guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. If you're listening live, I know the chat is broke. I'm sorry. You can reach us by calling us. You can tweet us, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. The chat's broken, guys. Travis, buddy.
Yeah.
In 2004, there's a rap duo called Trillville. They
sound great.
Travis, I'll tell you what. Of the Kidz Bop submissions that we've gotten, spoiler alert, guys, this is probably the most annoying.
We're getting right to it, huh, this week?
Should I tease it?
No, go ahead. Dive right in. I'm ready.
Oh, Travis, I'll tell you what. This song, it starts off with over 30 seconds of bed creak noises. It's among the most painful songs I've ever listened to, Travis. Listen, now this goes on for over 30 seconds, Travis, to begin this song. Who's got time for that, Travis?
Did you dive in? Did you see if this was the opening track of the album as well?
No, it's not.
Oh my.
Who's got time for all of this, Travis?
But these guys are holdovers from the No Limit Soldiers of the mid to late 90s.
Lil John is involved somehow. I saw his name. Lil John is associated somehow with Trillville. But
was he Lil John in 2004, or did it take a little longer? My perception of time is completely screwed up, so I don't
know. I think it was Little John in 2004.
Was there a time that Little John was not Little John?
Well, I mean, he was Little John, but did we always know of Little John? You know what I mean?
Oh, like, you mean like
I assume that he
was
did
this
work before
among
we
his
knew him.
Noteworthy works?
Well, at least during his noteworthy period, right? Like, I would assume he did some production work or something before we knew him as Lil Jon.
I think
before
that's all he does. That's all he does is production work.
Before he did that Usher song, the Yeah.
Which, by the way, they say yeah in that song too many times.
I love that song.
Travis, Trillville, they wrote the lyrics. Shit, you know the deal before an N person even stepped. Damn that ass, hot seems like it's gonna melt.
Shit, you know the deal before a nigga ain't still. Damn that ass, hot seems like it gon' melt.
So, Travis, I guess the question that I have for you, can you kids bop that shit?
Kids bop that shit?
Kid, you know the meal before a bowl is even prepped. Ham and hash is hot, she's likely gonna melt.
Ham
and hash.
Matt, what breakfast. You had a busy weekend? You went did you go to the ocean, Matt?
I was at the ocean, guys. I went to the ocean. I went down to Atlantic City.
Did you roll them ivories?
I did. I did not, actually. I'm sorry. I didn't gamble at all.
You were going to lie to me.
Beach videos, Matt. I saw beach videos. It was the stage in water?
What stage?
No, the stage was... I went to the Vans Warped Tour. It was their 25th anniversary.
Have they been doing it all this time?
Yeah. So last year, I don't know if anybody cares or follows it, but it was the last cross-country tour. So the guy who runs it is like, you know what, and it's been the same guy. Like, this hasn't changed hands. The guy's name's Kevin Lyman, and he's been running the tour. He's had his hands very much involved in the band selection and putting it together and making sure that everything runs smooth. And, you know, after 24 years, he was like, you know what, I don't want to do the cross country thing anymore. And this year being the 25th anniversary, or what would have been, they did four cities. So they just selected four different cities, and they had it's a 2-day festival, pretty much. So, you know, it was a Saturday, Sunday, and I went to the Atlantic City dates, which was right on the beach.
So is this still Blink 182 and Sum 41 and all those kind of bands?
Pretty much. You know, this was kind of a celebration of bands throughout the years. Really some great lineups. So I got to see a lot of my favorite bands from when I was a kid. I found some new bands that I was really into.
Did Korn show up?
Korn did not, but Korn would not have been a band that you would find on the Vans Warped Tour. Blink 182, you know, some punk bands.
I'm thinking of the Family Values Tour, sorry.
Yeah, Blink 182 actually did play Sunday night. They closed it out. I was really excited because Sunday night, which was probably my favorite day. I pretty much ended the day like watching 4 Years Strong, Thrice, The Used, Taking Back Sunday, The Offspring, and Blink 182. It was just one great band right after the other until close.
Matt, so. Was The Offspring always The Offspring, or did they add the at some point?
Oh, I have no idea.
I feel like I remember Offspring just being Offspring for a long time. And at some point,
I think
they
were Offspring until Ixnay on the Hombre. I think Ixnay on the Hombre was the first The.
Is that Did they just get pretentious? What happened? Was there Offspring that made them change?
I'm not really sure, but, you know, it was kind of crazy when they came out on stage. I was like, oh my God, all of these guys are old as fuck, but I mean, sounded just as good as they did, you know, back in the 90s.
I think, like, they're one of those bands that'll probably sneak up on you, and before you know it, you've heard 20 hits, and you're like, I didn't know The Offspring had this many hits.
Yeah,
fuck yeah, no, man.
It was like that. Like, it was just like one hit right after the other. And you're like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, then now, granted, a lot of their stuff sounds the same. Like, you could kind of incorporate the same, you know, lyrics into a different song.
Were there times like, that you heard a song and you're like, wait, they already played this? And you're like, no.
That happened a lot.
It's a
did they leave
song.
Off Pretty Fly for a White Guy?
I couldn't really tell you a lot of titles of their music. I just know, like, Give 'Em Hell Kid or something like that. That's a song, right?
So did you have sand issues, Matt? Did you have sand in all your crevices?
Yeah, that was like, a big downfall. While the setting was really cool, and it was fun, like, you know, you're out on the beach. Yeah, at certain points it'd be like, oh, it's kind of hot. I want to go into the ocean. And you'd kind of cool off and like just walk out there and stand, you know, about waist deep or whatever. And while you were doing that, you literally had a perfect view of the stage and could sit there and watch your bands while you're sitting in the ocean. I mean, there was just sand everywhere. There was so much sand.
Is sand conducive to moshing, Matt? Does it make moshing harder or easier?
No, and then you had these dickhead, like, you know, hardcore punk kids that would, like, run into a group of people and just kick sand up. And you're like, oh, why did you have to do that? And then if you were anywhere, like, there was 29,000 people, 29,000+ people there. And, you know, the crowd surfers, they'd come over your head, and then there was just sand all over their shoes and legs, and it's getting in your face, and
this sounds like a nightmare.
I think it sounds like one of those things that, like, depending on your state of mind, Travis, it could be either really great awful.
I feel like all this concert going really is, like, beyond my years. Like, I remember this sounds like something I would have loved when I was, like, 21, 22, maybe even in my mid-20s. But now, as an almost 40-year-old man, this beach concert sounds like hell.
You know? Yeah, I think at this point, give me a chair and let me watch the show.
Well, and I'm not saying there was the ability to kind of do that. Like, you really could have stood off to the side and, you know, it could have been as relaxing as you wanted it to be. Like, if you just wanted to kind of camp out at the beach all day and not get, like, crazy messy and watch the bands, you very well could have done that, because every stage, the way that it was set up, you could go to the different stages and literally be in the ocean or be right on the beach and enjoy it.
So did they have crossover with these bands? Did one start before the other finished, or was it they had multiple stages just so one could start right up after the other?
So there were four stages total. But yeah, the stages were set up in a way that, yeah, one, like, in the main stage, the center of it rotated. So while one band was performing, another band was setting up on the backside of it, and then they would just rotate that centerpiece, and, like, their drums and amps were ready to go.
Yeah, that's fun.
That is kind of
fun. So there might be 10 minutes of downtime between each band
while they
those are well organized shows. I've been to a couple of festivals like that where they had multiple stages just for that fact, because then you don't have that stupid downtime.
Yeah,
I don't like that downtime.
No, you don't want a lot of downtime. And then you could just travel to different, stages, too. Like, you know, Warped Tour is kind of, you know, that's the big thing, is, like, you get the schedules for all the different stages, and then you're trying to piece it together and get to each place, you know, because you want to see as many of these bands that you love, while you're there.
So were there were beach bars and things set up where were
there were food trucks and there were beach bars, you know, and I say beach bars, but it's just, you know, tents selling. Some of them were selling, like, hard liquor. Others were just selling beer.
What did they want for a beer?
$13.
And in a booze drink, probably about 18.
Yeah, I think it was 16 with a $3 deposit on the plastic cup.
Oh,
jeez.
So they got you. They get you.
Now, Matt, this was a destination trip. Like, you traveled with friends down to this. What was the sleeping situation like? Did you have a buddy that you stayed with, or did you guys get a hotel?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if you're familiar with the Lotus cast, it was that entire cast.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Well, not the entire cast, Matt.
Well, no, the entire cast that matters. It was myself and Dave and Joe, and then our buddy Kevin was there as well. And then we actually met up with a couple of our friends that live down in the D.C. area. Her and her husband were both. They came up.
Matt, did you share beds?
Yeah, absolutely. So myself, Joe, and Kevin decided to stay at the cheapest place possible, which was a Days Inn that was 5 miles outside of Atlantic City. It was a 15-minute drive from the hotel to the event, so it wasn't a big
Uber?
Deal. A couple times, yeah, we did the Lyft thing because we had some credits and discount codes. But then, you know, we realized it was much cheaper and easier just to drive in. Kevin, our buddy Kevin, doesn't really drink.
Oh, good.
So, you know, we were like, all right, well, that takes care of the driving situation.
Perfect, DD.
Yeah, and
what was the drug situation like on the beach?
Lots and lots of marijuana. Marijuana. There was a lot of that, and people passing around the old hashish.
Oh, the old ganj, the old hash.
Yeah, the devil's lettuce.
Anybody offering you any of the old mushroom caps? Anybody say you want to trip some balls?
Nobody ever says that. I you know, you always kind of see that in movies where they're like, oh, hey, like the people are passing it around. And any concert I've ever been to, I have never experienced anybody being generous with their drugs.
Like a friendly stranger just handing you something?
Never in my life have I ever experienced
that. Yeah, no, never happened to me. You know, my very first concert, there was a gay couple next to me who brought binoculars, and they did let me look through their binoculars, but that's a totally different story than what you're talking about, man.
That was nice, right? Though.
It was. It was very nice.
You guys have never had the weed passed to you, though? You've never had people never just said, here's some, really?
No, never.
Pass the Ducci to the left-hand side, Travis?
That's right.
The Ducci, did I say that right? I want to be cool with pass the kids.
Yeah, if you pronounce Ducci right, you are definitely cool.
Matt, the reason I ask about your sleeping arrangements, the last month or two, every morning I wake up and my sleep pants are around my knees. And somehow during the evening, I like take off my own pants. And I don't know if I'm sleepjacking. I don't know what I'm... My wife says I'm not sleepjacking.
Well, that's good.
But is she pulling your pants down?
I think she's doing it.
You think?
Yeah.
I think
she's sleepjacking in your sleep.
But now it's got me like really paranoid about like, you know, if I travel or something and like I sleep in a room with friends or something, then I'm going to pull my dick out in my sleep.
I'll tell you what, even if I was sleeping in a room with friends, I wouldn't wear sleep. Do you both wear sleep pants?
I'll either, you know, if I'm truly committed to it, Travis, I'll put on a pair of sleep pants. Every now and then I'll sleep in my boxer shorts.
I do the sleep pants in the wintertime, but it does get really cold up here.
But it's cold here too, but I it's so uncomfortable to wear any clothing besides the old boxer briefs.
If I'm winding down for the evening and I'm saying, you know, I think I'm going to put me on a nice pair of sleep pants, you know, really commit to the going to sleep thing. You know, a lot of times I just...
Sure, the ceremony of going to bed.
Right, right. A lot of times I'll just, like, go to bed. But, you know, like, if right. if I'm committed to the whole thing, then, yeah, I'll put on a pair of sleep pants, Travis.
But, I mean, you don't pull off those sleep pants before you crawl under the blankets?
No.
Oh, damn. I can't... Like, see, my wife she'll wear a sweatshirt and like sweatpants to bed and like sometimes like slipper socks. And I just don't understand how anybody can wear that shit to bed. It just seems so like constrictive.
My wife accused me of removing one of her socks every night while she's asleep because she wakes up and one of her socks is removed. And now I'm having issues with my pants coming down. And I think there's like a pervert ghost or something in the house.
Oh, like from the Ghostbusters when Dan Aykroyd gets his pants pulled down and gets that ghost blowjob?
I don't remember that part, Travis.
What?
Was that an outtake?
No, it's in every version of Ghostbusters you've ever seen where he's laying in bed and his pants come undone.
True.
And then all they do is pan up to his face and he's just got this weird googly face like, oh, it's so good. You don't remember that scene?
No, I missed that part.
You gotta watch Ghostbusters, man. Yeah. It's like they focus on his face like for a long time.
See, the only Ghostbusters that I know is the one that came out a couple of years ago with Melissa McCarthy, and she did not get
answer the call. That's the best one.
Any ghost blowjobs?
So what I feel like you should do, Mike, if your wife is constantly accusing you of taking one of her, is she a sound sleeper?
No, I am. She's not particularly.
I was going to say, because you should one night take one of her socks off and like put it on her hand like a mitten.
Just as a goof?
This is a goof. See if she notices. See what happens the next day if she accuses you of putting on a glove sock.
It's not a sock glove. Yeah, but what about my pants, Travis? What do I do about my pants?
Don't wear them to bed.
I have
I would start taking the pants off so you don't have to worry about this.
But if I wear boxer shorts, my boxer shorts come down too. Whatever I'm wearing comes down around my knees.
So if you go to bed with no sleep pants and boxer shorts and you wake up in the morning with the boxer shorts around your knees, then you know you have a case of a paranormal pervert.
I shared a bed with Joe.
Oh.
Face to face or feet to face?
I think it was more like side to like on our backs.
I mean, yeah, I get that, but like, which way? Which way?
Oh, yeah. We were, you know, like a normal, how you normally sleep in a bed.
Did you ever worry that you might cuddle up with him in the middle of the night?
No. A couple weeks ago, Joe and I went to Virginia together when I got my tattoo work done, and we ended up both of us crashing in his sister's bed. And at one point, I guess I threw my leg over him, but, you know, I had no control over that. I was asleep.
Well, no, just instinct. Was his sister also in the bed?
No, she slept on this, like, little futon disc on the floor.
That was nice of her.
Yeah.
Like a
dog? It was nice of her. Like a dog?
What's a futon disc?
Yeah, actually, it was like a dog bed. Yeah.
Like a Papasan chair, but flat.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Papa John has his own chairs?
Papa John has his own chair.
That's right, exactly. When he got into that hot water a couple of years back, he decided to start making furniture, and then they let him back in to make pizza, and now he's got two things.
He made futon disc chairs.
That's right.
Is that Papa wicker John thing? It's like a wicker deal?
That is.
Yeah.
So that she just like Papa John, took that off the wicker thing, put it on the floor, and slept on it?
Yep.
Huh. So you guys, do your pants come down when you sleep?
No. I'm with Travis. In the summertime, I am like in my underwear when I go to bed. Sleep pants are on in the winter, but yeah, they don't generally slip down.
I don't know how that would happen.
I think
really.
I'm probably like sleep jacking.
Unless they were uncomfortable and you were like, get these fucking pants off me. You know what I mean? Which I think could be solved by just not wearing them.
Guys,
I think we solved your problem.
Thanks. Thanks for helping me out with that one, Travis.
You're welcome.
I feel way better about it, and I know how to fix it.
I feel like that's why we do this show every week, is because at some point we're going to come to an understanding that we are going to solve each other's problems.
And then we're all going to be fixed, and then the show's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to go on a long time to fix me, so.
It's time once again for the Hollywood Beat with your inside source, Drunk. This week, Drunk talks to Dave Bautista about his new film, Stuber, in theaters July 12th.
What's going to stand out in this movie?
I am a large person, much larger than Kumail. But I also have a certain range of athletic ability.
Big guy, little guy. I get it.
It's just, it's different. It's fresh. It's new.
Hollywood Trailblazer. Big guy, little guy in a car.
Just not your average comedy. It's really not.
And you're big guy.
Hey, everybody. It's the 40-ounce pimp. And if you don't like Strange Label and Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks, you're clearly missing out on the fucking hit best radio show on the market.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Toy Story 4 finished with 201 points, which is great. Combine that with early reviews of Spider-Man in the high 60s. We can hope that's enough to put some separation between the two big money picks. Nobody drafted it, but you wouldn't believe how poorly the Nobody's Heard of the Beatles movie did. I would have given the trailer higher than a 55%. Does he murder people at the end? First week box office for Spider-Man next week.
From the makers of Get Out and Us comes the third film from visionary cable television star turned director Jordan Peele.
Marcus, behind you! It's some kind of metaphor!
For those of you who prefer your horror films with deep-rooted symbolism.
Sure, it's a guy with an axe. But what does it mean?
I don't think you heard me!
You'll get the gist, but in the end, you'll end up on YouTube trying to figure out what they were really talking about. What's that? Coming soon.
A few mementos for you. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Glass shadow on the wall in the apartment above mine. At first I thought that I was dreaming, but then I heard the voice of a girl and it sounded like she'd been crying. Now I'm in too worried to be sleeping, so I took the elevator to the second floor, walked down the hall and then I knocked upon her door. She opened up and I asked about the things I've been hearing. She said, I think your ears are playing tricks on you. Sweat is zipped up to her chin. Thanks for caring, sir, that's nice of you. But I have to go back in. Wish I could tell you about the noise, but I didn't hear a thing. She said, it must have been the wind, must have been the wind, must have been the wind, it must have been the wind. She said, it must have been the wind, must have been the wind, must have been the wind, it must have been the wind. So I was laying on the floor.
Guys, welcome back. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487, and or WFOD show on Skype. Travis.
Yeah.
Buddy. So I've been listening to the Hits One lately. And
on Sirius XM?
On Sirius XM, yeah. And they
I'm not familiar.
Travis, they play this kid all the time. And I think this kid got big on YouTube or something, and now he's putting out a record. And he's 25, so it's okay to make fun of him. This song... For some reason, Travis, when I hear this song,
that's a boy.
It cracks my shit up, Travis. I love this song. It's now. I understand. You gotta get to that hook a couple of times, you know. But like the narrative of this song. Fucking cracks me up, Travis. The reality of it. You probably didn't pay much attention, but
it's the wind.
So what happens? He's downstairs, and up above him in the apartment above him, he hears like a glass shatter, and he hears like a gal sounds like she's crying. So he goes upstairs. To investigate. He knocks on the door. Now, think about the reality. Okay, now this first verse, he takes the elevator up, he knocks on the door, and he says, you know, hey, Travis. Hi, I'm your neighbor from downstairs. I heard some noise. I was just coming to make sure that everything was okay.
No, everything's fine. Thanks for your concern.
Okay, cool. Okay, so that's the first verse. Gets to the chorus. It gets to the hook. It must have been the wind.
Right.
Goes back downstairs. Lays on, I don't know why he's laying on a concrete floor, but I guess it rhymed somehow.
He should lay on a futon disc.
He should, Travis. He should lay on a Papa John's futon disc. And he's thinking about it, Travis. He's thinking about it. And he's thinking, you know, something ain't right about this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something ain't
the
right.
The wind has never sounded like that before in my life.
Yeah. I mean, like, the wind doesn't make glasses crash against walls and make gals right. cry. So he takes the elevator up to the second floor a second time, Matt.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly, like, all right, you know what? You go back down, like, shit, I'm suspicious about this wind story. Let's get back up there and, you know, do a little bit more rooting around.
Listen, bro, sometimes glasses break and people are not sad.
Hey, yeah, me again. I'm just coming to make sure everything was okay.
You must be hearing the wind or something, buddy. Good night.
Okay, cool. All right. So, Travis, got to get to that hook again. Ooh, how are we going to get to the hook wind. A third time?
In the lyrics of the second verse, does the girl actually respond by saying it was the wind? Like, you must be hearing the wind?
She said, I think your ears are playing tricks on you. Sweater zipped up to her chin. Thanks for caring, sir. That's nice of you. But I have to go back in. Wish I could tell you about the noise, but I didn't hear a thing. Must have been the wind.
So she's also an idiot.
Yeah, they're all idiots, man.
She honestly maybe deserves to have that hoodie zipped up.
See, now the interesting thing.
This song hurts my head.
The interesting thing is she had the same reaction the second time as she did the first time. The second time, she said the same fucking thing. I mean, like she's
rehearsing. Was her sweater zipped up to her chin the first
time? Both times,
or just this time?
Travis, sweater zipped up to her chin.
Ooh.
I got my sweater zipped up to my motherfucking chin.
So, get the fuck out of my house, little bitch.
Travis, I want you to picture the reality of this. I'm going to read you the lyrics to the third verse of this song. Aim my boombox at the roof. I'm playing Lean On Me. Just so that she knows that she can lean on me. And when she hears the words, I hope she knows she'll be okay. And then he repeats that again. Aim my boombox.
First of all, nobody acts like this in an apartment building. People keep to themselves. Nobody is wondering what their neighbor... They're quietly wondering what their neighbors are doing. They're not knocking on their door being like, hey, what's going on in here?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you hear a glass shatter, you hear a gal crying a little bit. Not a big deal. I mean, like, if you hear, like, a brutal brawl going on, you might call the police. But, right. you're not taking two trips up to her door and then standing outside like Lloyd fucking Dobler with a boombox telling bitch, hey, you can lean on me.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he just turned it up and, you know, aimed it at the ceiling, probably infuriating the guy that was beating the woman up. And he's like, this motherfucker is playing Lean On Me again, and then just starts beating his girl up again.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
I heard some crying and stuff. And I just want you to know I'll be here.
Fuck off! Ugh.
This song fucking stinks.
Now, this isn't toxic masculinity, right? Like, he's like, I'm going to solve your problems, even though there isn't one.
Right. He insists there's a fucking problem because
I know something is wrong.
Okay, here we go. Like, she had a trinket on her shelf and she accidentally knocked it off with her elbow and broke it. She's fucking bummed out. It was the present that she got from her dead dad 10 years ago.
So she puts on her emo hoodie.
She has a good cry, you know?
Yeah. She don't want some dipshit from downstairs coming up and fucking with her.
Hey, guy I've never met, let me confide in you about my dead dad.
Especially this. When you coming back from break, I sincerely thought that was a gal singing that song.
No, Travis, it's a 25-year-old man. His name is Alec Benjamin.
Man.
He's trending on YouTube right now.
He is? People like that bullshit?
People are into it, man. They're playing it on the hit channel. They're not playing it on the stupid ass channel.
Yeah, but like this is that romantic idea. Like I'm pretty sure there's definitely people at home that just, you know, they have that casual encounter and they're just hoping like, oh, please notice me. Like, and there is, you know how needy you have to be?
Like, I'm posting on Craigslist because I saw you at Walmart.
Like,
and I wonder if when our eyes met that you'll see this ad and that we'll get together because you checked me out when I was getting that shaving cream and I felt like we had a connection.
So it seems like super cringy, right? That he would play the music hoping that she would notice it. But I mean, most guys have probably done something similar, right?
Yeah,
like just
but
to
you
try to get the attention, whether it be like going into the store because there's the cute cashier and you just keep like, you know, you were young and stupid. So you just kept going in like three, four, five times a day trying to buy something. And then you brush up against her. So you get her scent on your arm and so you can smell it later and jerk off. Like we've all done that.
Wait, scent?
No.
Yeah, what?
I mean, I get you had me
like
there.
You,
like, yeah, I get it. You go into the place that you saw this gal that you thought you had.
Find out where
with.
She's working, and then you ask if you could use the bathroom, and then you put a camera like up in above the toilet, so like looking down. Like we've all done desperate stuff to be close to people that are on a.
Why
table.
Above?
But then I mean, but
then
you
can't
I mean,
see
like
the
you
dukes
see,
come
you
out.
See what she drives, right? Like you see what she drives, and then you get in the back seat and wait for her to get off of work. You mean that kind of thing?
Yeah, and then you know. You put the bag over her head.
But you wait till she gets home.
Well, of course.
You put the bag over. Say, I'm not going to hurt you. I just felt like we had a moment.
Right.
She's having a hard time breathing, but you start to sing her a song.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's okay, baby. We've got this.
Guys. Well, yeah, but I mean, this is way different.
Guys,
I've
never done any of this stuff, guys.
Mike, I mean, I'm not saying like just like this. But, you know, you're close. Like, you get desperate sometimes.
But, I mean, sometimes, like, right. Like, you hide in her bushes. You pop out just as she's about to open her door with her key. Say, hey, remember me from earlier?
Yeah, and you show her all the pictures that you've been taking for the past year and a half.
While she's on the toilet?
Not just the toilet, but while she's out shopping with her friends.
Oh, right. Oh yeah, like the stuff. Breakfast with her grandma.
Right. You know, when she found out that she was pregnant and had to get an abortion, you had that all documented.
See, like, I feel like
though,
you guys are saying all this
from a
stuff.
Distance.
Like,
yeah, well, you were outside by the dumpster when they dumped the fetus out.
Like, this is relatable. So look, it's not. It's not relatable, guys. It's bad stuff that you say. I mean, like, you should probably write songs about all this. It sounds like it'd be on Hits One, but I feel like this is not good behavior, what you guys are talking about.
Oh, I'm not. Listen, I'm just saying we've all done something like desperate, like similar to this. Not maybe young, exactly.
Young, dumb, and full of cum. Am I right?
That's right, Travis. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like all these
old
cracks me up.
That's right.
So, Matt, you did. Did you do Summerween?
Yeah, we did Summerween a couple weeks ago.
So I thought this was just some dumb shit that you made up, but I saw other people doing it too. Is it? It's
so
a real thing.
There's a great show on. Well, it's over now. But if you, I tell you what, if you like that show Twin Peaks, Like the creators of Twin Peaks made a children's animated show called Gravity Falls. And
was Gravity
really
Falls
clever...
not the one with the gal that worked at Niagara Falls and the monkey talk to her? That wasn't Gravity Falls?
No.
What was the show where the gal worked at Niagara Falls and the monkey talked to her?
Oh, I don't know what that
is. Gravity Falls a cartoon? Matt?
Gravity Falls was a cartoon. No, there was no monkey in the Gravity Falls. I think you're thinking of Powerpuff Girls.
Oh.
No, the monkey's a bad guy.
But Summerween is just a holiday that they celebrate where you just kind of do Halloween in summer. And, you know, you carve a jack-o'-melon and you got candy and you play games. And you have fun. So we just did it. We had a party where we had just a bunch of kids come out and, you know, from the neighborhood. We just moved. So it was a nice way to get to meet some of the people. Meet the people, Mike.
So you had a guest.
Had you not met the people yet?
You know, I haven't met some of the parents and stuff of the new kids that are their new school. And, you know, there were some nice people, some nice friendly people.
Did you identify any of them as big douchebags and tell your daughters not to hang out with their kids anymore?
No, nothing like that. All the kids there were actually really nice, which is odd because usually if you have a party like that where you're meeting all these new kids for the first time, you kind of have some moments where you're like, ugh, God, I hope I don't have to deal with this little shit again. And but everybody was really respectable, really nice. Everybody, you know, had a good time. Some of the parents were, you know, they were interesting, but nobody that I was like, there was nobody that I was really fond of, like super or overly fond of, and nobody that I was like, I hope I never see you again. So right in the middle.
That's the dream though, right? Like you go to a group of parents and it's just fine. It's not great or it's not bad.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's like, God, I don't ever want to be in the same room with these people.
Because it's like, I enjoy the conversations that we have, right? And even my friends that I have, the conversations that we have, that's what I'm most attracted to and I like to have fun with. Like, it's just, we can talk about really dumb shit, but I don't know what it is when parents get together, they just have to, like, go into that, like, autopilot, where it's just like, we got to touch all the main subjects.
Well, it's that weird adult small talk mode, which is super, it's super gross.
Like, well, it's grasping for the common stuff. So I guess you probably talk about the school that both of your kids go to, the quality of teachers and stuff.
Right. And it's summertime, so like, oh, you doing anything fun this summer? And then,
oh,
you know, talk about
weather.
I just ran into a parent from my kid's school yesterday, and that's exactly what the first thing was. Is usually I just toss out a, hey, how you doing? Okay, good, and then move on. But then it was like, then she asked me, she's like, oh, you guys doing anything fun this summer? Right, have you done anything fun this summer?
Oh,
it's like,
Matt, you know what the most relatable topic is? Traffic.
I don't know how to test the waters as far as like making friends to the point, like, Where can I have that friendly debate? Like, all of my friends, I can have disagreements with, and we're okay. Like, we can disagree on something, debate about it, even really get into a fight about it. We're like, calling each other, like, dude, you're stupid for thinking that way. No, you're stupid for thinking that way. And then you have this really, you know, huge back and forth. But afterward, it's not like, well, fuck you, I never want to see you again. It's kind of like, all right, that was that. Like, we just didn't agree on it. So you never know where that line is. So you
I feel like to really just spice up your life, all of these random parents that you run into, just say something about immigration.
Yeah. I think that would definitely
see what happens.
What do you think about all these cage kids?
Right. there was one parent there that started like talking about how if she's out in public and she hears a kid like using profanity, how she will say something to the kid or the kid's parents. Like, I think that's wrong. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, you know, I honestly don't care. Like, my kids, they don't use any of the hard words, but my oldest says, damn it.
Oh, she says, damn and it. I, does she say
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, she'll say,
is shit?
She doesn't say
one?
Shit.
That's a hard one.
But I mean, even if you heard a kid say shit out in public and they were with their parents, why would you ever open your mouth?
Yeah.
Does she call anybody a dickwad?
No, nothing like that. No. I honestly, and I've told my oldest, I'm like, listen, when you're 13, I don't really care. But I've been having these context arguments with her where I'm like, why can you not say these words? And she's like, well, you tell me I can't use these words. And I'm like, well, yeah, I understand that I say it, but why will I not allow you? Like, if you can say crap, how come you can't say shit? They both mean the same thing. And she's like, well, because it's a bad word. And I'm like, well, why is it a bad word? Like, why can't you say shit? Why are you not allowed to say shit, but you can say crap? They mean the same thing. So I like, I'm trying to get them to understand what context is. Like, you know, if the words mean the same thing, they don't really, it's not a big deal. But my big worry is if I let them kind of go wild with all of those words, that they'll just go to school and then they'll get in a lot of trouble for saying fuck.
Well, I think having those conversations, though, probably helps too, because it's like, you need to understand, like, you need to let your children understand, like, why it's jarring for people to hear children use profanity, right? Like,
right.
It's like, and we as adults probably shouldn't use them in polite society, but I'll tell you what, as a professional, even in the workplace, I say fuck all the time, and I probably shouldn't. And when I hear other people use it, it's like, you probably shouldn't.
I use a lot of profanity, and I don't care if anybody uses profanity around me. And I'm just like, you know what? I think profanity is good for the soul.
I don't disagree. It's just sometimes my personal feeling is that it's jarring to me. Sometimes.
Oh yeah. No, ooh. Like me, even with me allowing my kids to say hell, or, you know, they'll say what the hell. And I'm like, wait, what'd you say? You know? And I'm like, oh wait, I said that was,
all right.
That was the one time too, with my oldest, like, you know, he's 20 now. And when he tried to slip it in early, because I was never, and I didn't want him to use profanity around me. I know you do. And I know, like, early as second and third grade, you're talking to your friends and saying fucking shit and whatever. And it's like, I think he dropped it when he was like 14 or something, or maybe he was a little bit older. I was talking to him on the phone, and it's like, just don't, I know you're doing it and it's fine, but I just don't feel comfortable with you saying fucking to me. Like, it doesn't feel right. Like, I don't care that you do it, but just maybe not in conversation with your dad.
My parents still go, oh, nice talk to me. It's like, come on.
As a 30 some year old man.
Did I tell you that they text messaged me last week and said, well, we listened to the show for a while live, but we had to turn it off when you started talking about fucking Disney characters.
Did you ask them what, like, triggered them to turn it on?
I had a phone conversation with my mom a couple of weeks ago, and she said something along the lines of, well, we know that you're proud of this, and we want to be supportive. And so I think they have been trying to listen live. I don't know where that came from. I mean, we've been doing it for a decade. It must have been
conversation.
It had to have been a guilt thing, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, Mike hasn't done anything with his life. We better support what, you know, obviously he's not going to give up this fucking podcasting thing.
He's in a dead end job.
I guess this is the thing he's going to do.
The only goddamn thing he does, all he talks about.
they finally conformed, Mike.
Yeah. I think that I am pretty much. Now I'll give you a story about my dad. My dad, I took him to Walmart a couple weeks ago. He wanted to go to Walmart, and I took him. And there is a local gas station that he went to for years and years and years and years. He went out of his way to go to this small, like, gas station that, like, just a dude owned. Like, all the gas stations are, you know, Mobile and Quick Trip. And,
right.
And he wanted to go to this one because it was just a guy trying to make a buck, you know. And he went to this gas station one time, and while he was filling up, he noticed that there was some bug guts on his headlights. And so he got the window washer squeegee thing. I was trying to get the bug guts off of his headlights. And the guy that owns the gas station came outside and said, "Hey, buddy, this isn't a fucking car wash."
What?
Oh, boy.
Now, granted, this was probably 6-7 years ago. Every time we drive by this gas station, my dad flips off the gas station.
Wow.
Like, every time.
Are you sure that it wasn't one of those gas stations similar in the, like, those to those restaurants where they just give you a hard time and they're jerks to you while you eat there? Like, maybe that's the appeal.
Dirty Bill's, like, fill up station.
The place is still in business, so I guess.
I'll tell you, if somebody ever came out of the gas station building while I was cleaning my headlights, because I've done that plenty of times, I would fucking boomerang the squeegee directly at their face.
Toss it at them like one of those axe throwing places.
Oh, I would throw it so hard at them.
You'd Last of the Mohicans' ass with a squeegee.
I tell you what I would probably do. I would be like, I would continue to then actually wash my entire car with this.
And start to do your, like, quarter panels and shit.
Yeah, like what are you going to do about this?
My dad
don't put this shit out here if you don't want me washing my bumper.
My dad has just made it his mission to make sure that the guy gets the middle finger for the past 7.
It would be really funny. You should go in there one day and just start washing your car with the squeegee.
And don't even pull up. Don't even pull up like into the gas pump. Pull up like perpendicular to the gas pump and go grab the squeegee.
Don't even get gas.
Block off the gas pump. No, block off the gas pump so people can't do it. But perpendicular, like not parallel with the gas pump. You want to make a T. And then you just like walk the 10, 15 steps to get the squeegee and like just walk back and forth to clean your entire car.
Yeah. Dude. And then when he comes out and he like, cause you've set this whole thing up again for him to, you know, say something. When he comes back out to say something to you, your response can be, "Well, hey, the jerk store called."
Oh, fucking nail him, Matt. Finish it.
And they're all out of you.
Boom.
Does this look like the jerk store? Because that's where you belong.
Ooh, that's high comedy.
Oh, boy. Travis, you have pick of the week, Travis.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, I do. Travis's pick of the week is The Kids in the Hall, One Dumb Guy. It's the biography on my favorite Canadian comedy troupe by Paul Myers, who happens to be the brother of Mike Myers. It chronicles the kids in the hall from before they actually all met each other up until right about 2017. So it's a pretty comprehensive look at the comedy troupe, the ups and the downs and the successes and the pratfalls. And it was amazing, and I'm sad that I'm done with it because I really loved it. It's, if you like comedy, if you like Kids in the Hall, if you like to see how interpersonal dynamics work over the course of 30 years, it is the book for you.
Hmm. Matt, pick of the week, Matt? I actually have a pick of the week this week, guys. It's a good one, too. It's a good one.
Oh, good, good. My pick of the week is I found this new band at the Warped Tour called Wage War. They're not really a new band. They've been out for a little while.
Wage War? Years,
yeah, Wage War. And I was so impressed. I accidentally stumbled upon their set. I thought I was going to see another band play, and this band started playing, and I was like, what the fuck is this all about? But was, you know, so captivated by their live show, and they really just did a great job. So I highly recommend you check them out.
Matt,
Mike, your pick of the week.
Wage War. Is Wage War going to be on the program? Book Wage War.
You know, I'll send a message out.
Fuck yeah, Matt. Guys, pick of the week. Me and the wife, we ran through the first season of the Amazon show Fleabag this past week, and it was.
I hear that's great.
It's pretty great, Travis. Brett Gelman's on it. I like Brett Gelman. Just about anything Brett Gelman does is good. I think it's British. Everybody's all British. You know, they say British things, Travis.
Oh, do they talk about going to the loo, putting things in the boot?
Yeah, I think they said both of those things, Travis. Fleabag is my pick of the week. Guys, I mean, that was a show, right?
Yeah, we did a show.
We did a show. We'll do another one probably about this time next week.
I won't be here.
Oh, no, hey, Travis, Mike. Next week?
No Travis next week. Oh, it's my yearly Jellystone vacation.
Oh, jeez. Matt, no Travis next week.
That's a big bummer. Mike, please get on the Snapchat.
Okay.
And there's a filter where you put where it goes over your face, and it turns you into a woman and a baby. And there's a picture of like a man, a woman, and a baby, and it's all you. And I want to see what your filter looks
you're
like.
You're the man, please. The woman, and the baby?
Yeah. I need to see what you look like.
I mean, that sounds pretty
Travis,
great.
You should download it too, because I'd love to see what you look like, but I know you're afraid of Snapchat.
I don't like Snapchat. I'm not doing that.
I think I got too much shit on my face. I got headphones on and glasses. It doesn't realize I have a face, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wait till you got a face.
Yeah, take those things off before you do it.
Guys.
I'll send you mine, and then we could tweet them out. Ooh, and then maybe next week we can get drunk.
Oh, you guys are going to get drunk together next week?
No.
Guys, thanks. I see there's people listening even though there wasn't a chat. That's mighty nice of you, I guess. Or, you know, maybe you just enjoy the program. So, I mean, that was nice of us to do one, right, Travis?
I mean,
I'm looking at it all wrong. You're welcome, is what I'm saying. Guns out, funds out.
Good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself.